Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, welcome. We got a beautiful view of the bay. We're up here on the sixth floor right outside the Modelo Club at Shea Center, Damon Ratto and Kolsky. And it's good to be with you this afternoon. It's good to see Andrew Wiggins in town. We'll get our second look at him tonight. And we'll get our first look in a real long time at Andre Iguodala, who is here. I've already been contacted, gentlemen, by the one and only Raymond Ritter himself. And Raymond asked, please let people know. We got a tribute, thank you, Andre Iguodala video that they're going to run right before the game tips off tonight. So get to your seat early. Get ready for a little Andrew Wiggins part two. And Andre Iguodala, welcome back. Who says you can't go home?
Yeah, I'm excited. You excited, Ray?
I'm indifferent.
You look excited.
I mean, I honestly thought he would be sitting out the year because I thought Memphis would be willing to just sit on him for an entire season.
I think they did exactly what they wanted to do, which is get the most value they could out of him. And I think Justice Winslow as a return prize, which is sort of the centerpiece of what they got, is probably – I mean, look, would you rather have Justice Winslow or like the 15th pick in this draft? I'd rather have Justice Winslow.
See, the problem with Justice Winslow for me, though, is he's always hurt.
Right.
I think that's the thing that – I mean, just – he sounds like, and this is probably too harsh a phrase, but he seems like damaged goods. And so I kind of feel that the market for Iguodala was not as good as Memphis thought it was going to be.
Maybe.
Markets might not have been as good around as anyone thought that they would be, and maybe that's what led to the trade for Andrew Wiggins when it happened. I know that there's still a lot of people scratching their heads. Let me tell you what I think is also true and just out there. There are a lot of people who made up their minds about the Golden State Warriors, and there won't be a single transaction that this team makes that they're going to get the benefit of the doubt for making, which is odd because you think that this Bob Myers and Steve Kerr, a respected ownership group who seem to have, on one hand, the respect of the NBA, get absolutely no respect by anyone covering the NBA, or at least a vast majority of the people who are trying to make a business talking about the NBA or getting attention for it, because you would think that the Warriors have traded for a complete player that everyone has full working knowledge of. I can promise you this. You don't have an awful lot of working knowledge of anything in Minnesota beyond Prince's discography. I mean, really, maybe Kirby Puckett was big enough of an entity to jump the shark back in the day with Harmon Killebrew, maybe. Guess what you don't know about Minnesota sports?
George Mikan and the Minnesota Lakers?
Most of it. The vast majority of everything that ever happened in Minnesota is comfortably resting in the pile of you didn't see enough to really know about. But because Andrew Wiggins is involved in the Warriors, oh my God, the leading Andrew Wiggins authorities in this world are just, there's so many to count. It's amazing. You would think that he was playing a national game 15 times a season for six seasons. Every single weekend he's on ABC. We know so much about him. I've seen Andrew Wiggins in person three times. He's not bad.
Once he had, what, 40?
He's not bad. I mean, to the point where, what are people expecting every time he's on the court?
So this, I think it's twofold. You mentioned there's the Warriors part of it, certainly. But the other half of this is he's the number one overall pick. So I think just by virtue of the fact that he hasn't been on ABC every Saturday, and by virtue of the fact that he hasn't been in All-Star games, and he hasn't been in front of people nationally, the conclusion is, he was a first overall pick. He's supposed to be a team-leading superstar. So I've made up my mind he's not that, and that means he's nothing. And I think that might be even more a part of the criticism of the trade than anything, is Andrew Wiggins had 5 years in Minnesota to show us that he could be the superstar team leader on a franchise, and he failed. And that's true. He did fail at that. He is not going to be asked to do that here.
Right. He is not the leading man. Part of an ensemble cast, he could be perfectly cast to be part of an ensemble.
I think so, too.
I think the thing with Wiggins is that the people who did see him often all said that it wasn't that he couldn't play. It was that he was inconsistent about how hard he played. And after 5 years, he made it easy to pigeonhole himself.
No doubt.
Because it wasn't that he didn't couldn't save the franchise. Franchise can't be saved because it's run by a moron. But it's that if you're picked first, you need to show either immediate hit the ground running at top speed or development. And he did neither. So everything I read about this deal was that they liked this better than the Russell thing. I mean, I didn't see people ripping the Warriors for this at all. Oh. What I saw was it may not work, but it's a gamble worth taking. And when you're in the position they're in, that's what you've got, is gambles worth taking. They don't know what Andrew Wiggins is going to be here because the Warriors don't know what he's going to be here because in a month or shortly thereafter, the team's going to change. And then the team's going to change at the start of next season. He's going to have to change who he is at least twice in about 9 months.
Even though it was split over the course of 5 years and is five distinct chapters unto itself, it felt like the whole part of the Warriors that we went through was almost a volume to itself. Now we have the remainder of this season broken down into the what is Andrew Wiggins chapter before we see him, who we want to see him with, Curry and Clay chief among them. Then we're going to have the chapter that is this offseason, the draft picks, player development, and we're going to get these little micro chapters in a very long, interesting, lots of moving parts and pieces story, and the Warriors are now strength in finding value in players you don't have to pay a lot. That's what the Warriors are really looking at over the next four or five seasons here. How much value can you scrape out of your own system, out of your own draft picks, without having a huge amount of money to throw around in free agency, which there really won't be many free agents to throw an awful lot of money at? This is going to be there are going to be several little experiments that are going to be run by Bob Myers and company over the next really 6 to 8 months that will tell us an awful lot more about what next year's playoff run could look like, might look like, than anything that's going to happen in the remainder of this season.
I would actually extend that window to like, carry the one, 16 months. Because in my mind, this team is still going to be young enough going into next year between, I mean, look, I was just taking some rough notes on this, and I think we can be confident that Marquese Chriss, Andrew Wiggins, Kevon Looney, Eric Paschal, Kai Bowman, Alan Smilagic, and Jordan Poole, plus a top five pick in the draft, will all be on this team. That's eight guys in the 24 or younger range, 25 for Wiggins. I think this team is going to change all throughout next year. I think this team is going to be different entering the playoffs next year than what we saw in opening night, just in terms of player development. Frankly, if it's not, they're not going to be a championship contender. Because I think any picture you paint of them contending next year involves someone like Eric Paschal or Alan Smilagic or Jordan Poole or perhaps some combination of them being a part of it. Marquese Chriss, for that matter, as well. Like, if those guys don't develop into playable pieces for a playoff run, I don't think you're making a very deep playoff run.
By the way, did you enjoy the first half Marquese Chriss had against the Lakers?
Give me the whole game.
It's the best first half he's ever played in his life. It's the best game he's played in a Warrior uniform.
No doubt.
Maybe best first half of his professional life.
Absolutely. And that was probably the best NBA game of Smilagic's life. That was, to me, the best Warrior game watch-wise of the year.
It was fun.
Because, yeah, it was fun. It was competitive largely throughout. And you finally saw some pieces of what the future could be. You saw, hey, if Jordan Poole gets hot, if Jordan Poole finds himself a little bit, here are some of the skills he could bring to the table. If Alan Smailagić can, you know, age, which hopefully he'll be allowed to do, he has some really serious potential. If Marquise Chris gets minutes, I think he can affect the game. Like, those are all things that are valuable for the Warriors to learn.
I think the thing that stood out for me is not necessarily any of those things, but the fact that when the Lakers were ready to put their foot on their throats, when they were up 18, they didn't roll over. I mean, it's they have more attitude than they have aptitude at this point.
Yep.
And that there's something to be said for that, but I can't figure out whether the Lakers just said, well, we've done enough for tonight. Because right now the Warriors are a team that you load manage, mm-hmm. either through the people you don't play or the people you sort of
take it easy throughout the game.
Minutes on. Yeah. So the fact that they're in that position, that's unavoidable. But the fact that they did not roll over and die when by all rights they probably should have, I think that's something to be noted because there are nights when they don't compete. And any night they do compete and make it hard for a good team to win, that should be considered a victory in and of itself.
And to bounce off that point, they didn't roll over on a die on a night where maybe the new guy is kind of setting a little bit of a tone. I thought it was the perfect game for Wiggins to step into this franchise because he didn't have to really defer to anybody. He could let the game come to him. You could say, well, he was a little too passive in moments, and therein lies the criticism of Andrew Wiggins. But I thought he looked like a pro the entire night long. He wasn't afraid of the moment. He wasn't jittery. He didn't try to force anything. He just let a game come to him. He picked and chose his moments. And there's an awful lot of entitlement in the NBA. I will take, in a season lost, a crop of scrappy guys trying to prove that they belong in this world. That, to me, is what the Warriors probably have to put in front of us over the next handful of months. I'm here for it. Let's see who wants to be an NBA player.
Yes.
Let's play. Let's make a career. Let's do it. Let's absolutely do it. Who wants to be a high-value NBA player for a song and dance salary? The Warriors are interested in you. We're interested in talking with you. We are live at Shea Center. 888-957-9570 is our number. We're going to be talking to Mark Spears later this hour. Mike Inglis, play-by-play voice of the Miami Heat, friend of the show. He's going to be stopping on by, speaking of friends of the show. Tim Roy stomps on by today. We got a great afternoon. We're awfully excited about a little basketball talk. And what do you know? The XFL knocked on America's door. I'm not saying we're letting them in and giving them a room to rent, but it wasn't the most unwelcome house guest I've
Now, back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky, live from Shea Center on 95.7 The Game.
Mark Spears, when I heard he was going to be on the show today, I thought we'd need an extra microphone for him here at Shea Center, because that's the way it usually goes down. He is actually in Milwaukee, but he just sat down for an extensive interview with Andre Iguodala, who is obviously back playing NBA basketball, just traded to the Miami Heat, and he will be out on the court tonight. I know the Warriors have prepared a little video. Welcome back to the NBA. Welcome back to the Bay, Andre. Thanks for the memories. His beer will be cold and free and poured with a smile for him for the rest of his life in the Bay Area. That's what happens when you're an important piece of championship teams. Hell, Hunter Pence gets that, and he's back too. So who says you can't go home again?
Free coffees for everybody.
Yeah, and free cups of coffee if you were in the Warriors G League, because you now get to come up and see if you can play a little bit. We'll get to all of that. Look, Saturday's Lakers game was a fun game. If Kai Bowman or Eric Paschal shoot just a touch better, that might have been a game the Warriors win. They lost by 5 to a Lakers team that found itself in a game that should have been over before it was. And compounding the, you know, little round of applause that I'm giving the effort against L.A., no Draymond, no Curry, no Klay, and 2, 3, 4 guys that are all just meeting for, like, one practice and maybe a walkthrough. These guys, didn't know each other 48 hours before the game tipped off in terms of someone who's starting, guys who were coming off the bench. And I thought that they did a good job of putting it together. Ray, you even said that the hustle was enough for you to say, you know, nice job, Golden State Warriors. Marquese Chris had his best half of maybe his life, his best game of the year. I'll tell you that Jordan Poole, he's starting to show all the signs that neither Jacob Evans nor Patrick McCaw ever really gave the Warriors a reason to believe. Like, Jordan Poole stepped in, was overwhelmed, stepped out, and has stepped back in looking like he belongs an awful lot more than I thought he would. Like, I'm impressed. It was a, are you going to be an NBA player or not, Jordan Poole? I think he is. I think he's going to be an NBA player.
For me, I mean, the jury's still out because the start was so brutal. But I think he might be a guy where if you're really careful about how you pick his spots, he could be of help. I just need to see. I'm hard to convince one way or the other. And I think, for instance, as much as we talk about Saturday night, I know essentially no more about Andrew Wiggins than I knew 5 days ago about how he's going to fit here. I want to see tonight. I want to see, you know, through the break. I want to see after the break. And I'll say I want to see 7 games before I kind of get a sense about how malleable he really is, because it's not that he could never do what he showed the other night. It's that he only showed it intermittently. That was the great frustration in Minnesota. And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because Minnesota was, is, and will be a tire fire for the foreseeable future. But and I want 5-6 more games to get a sense of him.
By the way, Bob Myers bet on that being a tire fire. I mean, he really did. They are. They sent D'Angelo Russell to Minnesota, not exactly thinking this is going to work out great for them. They're fading the Timberwolves big time. They're shorting that stock.
It's a little bit like your standard big San Jose Sharks train under Doug Wilson, in that he always looks for a distressed team that is basically, you know, selling at a disadvantage. This was that, because he had the one thing that Minnesota needs right now, which is the thing that might make Karl Anthony Towns happy. Other than that, they sort of won the trade, at least in terms of who blinked when it was finally made, because they wanted him to take a high 2020 draft choice. And he says, no thanks, I got one of those, and I'm not very excited about it. So I think in that way, for a team that looks like it may win 20 games, he was dealing from a position of strength just because his situation is not nearly as dire as Minnesota's.
Yeah, I there's no question there's an element of looking at Minnesota and thinking there are ways from getting it together that goes into this trade. I think there's also, though, an element of, heck, even if it's the 16th to 20th pick in the 2021 draft, that could be better than the 8th in this draft this year. So that and the 22 second rounder, which if that's the high schoolers coming in draft, that means the second round might even have a ton of talent in it. Draft equity is obviously a huge part of this, and I think that's where it becomes easier to say they won the trade, sort of whatever happens with Wiggins and Russell. But honestly, for me, even if it had been a straight up trade, I feel okay about it. I don't know if I'd as easily say they win, but it's a better fit. And beyond that, I'm not so sure Wiggins can't be the better player straight up than Russell. It all depends on the same sort of, is it 60% that they fulfill their potential? Is it 40%? And we'll find out. But certainly I think being in this environment would have given either of them a better chance than being in Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota doesn't have an environment.
Exactly.
It's basically, it's the vacuum of space. It's a less than half full building. It's a team without sort of big plans.
That their being
best
said.
Player, their best player is unhappy most of the time.
Yeah.
And going to work every day with all those things and an owner who's a loon.
And it's freezing cold. All that is true.
Oh, you can be inside. Minnesota could be a hell of a place to play when Kevin Garnett was there playing.
I like Minnesota. I'm just saying it's also you can't go outside for most of the season. I will say owner lunacy aside, Gerson Rosas, their current GM, I think is better than anyone they've had in quite a while.
Yeah.
And Towns, if actualized, is spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah. If this doesn't get him energized, then they have to move him.
I think you're right.
I mean this is their last card to play.
Here's a friend.
And I don't think that anything is nearly the dire. If this doesn't work out, Andrew Wiggins, we're going to have to bring you outside and scream at you and yell at you, and you're not who we thought we were. But look, he came in, and in the blink of an eye, I thought scored a pretty efficient 24 on 8 of 12 shooting. And what I liked out of him was the 5 steals. Like, that to me is the one thing you can control defensively. You might not know where all the rotations are. You might not know how everyone fits on the court together. So just hustle on your player, who was LeBron James, by the way.
Yeah, not a great matchup.
Yeah, 5 steals for Wiggins. I thought that was so what's the opposite of a red flag? A checkered flag? We can keep on going.
Green
flags, checkered flags.
Yellow.
Okay, we'll take it all. Mark Spears, the man, the myth, the legend. We do love talking basketball with Mark Spears. And he joins us from Milwaukee, where he is covering the NBA tonight. But he just sat down with Andre Iguodala, who's going to be back here tonight. It's always a good time to say hello to our friend Mark Spears here on 95.7 The Game with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Mark, how you doing, pal?
Hey, football's over. Y'all remember me.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And thankfully, the Warriors did something, so there was a reason to talk to you beyond a 12-win basketball team. We got to just jump right in.
There's that, too.
Yeah, there's that, too. There is. You know we love you. You know we love the undefeated. But we have not fallen really in love with this basketball season until maybe now. Because there's so many moving parts to the Golden State Warriors. There's so much unknown that I almost don't even know where to begin. Let's start here, Mark. What do you think of Andrew Wiggins?
I think he got out of jail, and he's free. And he played like he was free the other day. And you made a good point. There's definitely reason to question whether or not he loves the game. And we remember, and we're going to go back and raise there, Joe Barry Carroll was a guy that was super talented in the 80s, but didn't love the game. You know, I'm hoping, and I don't think that Andrew Wiggins will be that. His first game was outstanding, 24, 5 steals, 3 three-pointers, and he listened to Steve Kerr. He ran the floor. And I think he realizes if he just runs, he's going to get easy buckets in transition. He's going to get open three. And just think how much easier it's going to be for him once the splash comes back. But to me, like, he's not replacing Durant because nobody replaces Durant. But I think he replaces the role that Harrison Barnes once served for the Warriors.
How many games do you want to see before you make up your mind about him? Because his situation is weirder than most trade acquisitions in that the team he comes to is different than the one it's going to be in a month, and it's different than the one it's going to be in 4 months, and on and on. He's got to make not one adjustment, but several.
But it's a good problem. So I'm optimistic for him. I mean, like, Minnesota was going nowhere. It's cold. It's just miserable. They hadn't won in forever. And you know, even with the Warriors' struggles right now, I remember talking to Willie Cauley-Stein about it. He's like, I know we're not playing well, but I know what's to come. And just playing in a championship franchise is just different. Playing in a city like, you know, playing in the Bay Area is different. And he just felt like every day when he went to work, it was a different level, a higher level. And I think Wiggins is probably going to be excited about that. Like, how many coaches has he had? How many teammates has he had? He's had a change in ownership. He's had a coach die. It's been a revolving door. Obviously, some heartache involved. And he definitely needs a change of scenery. But I understand, Ray, like, there's a big sample size. He has the rest of the regular season. But if he can't get excited to play with the Warriors' big three, then – he might as well hang it up, and I think he'll be excited.
So I'm with you, Mark. I think he'll be excited. I am optimistic about how this could work, but I'm also curious. Let's, for the sake of argument, say these last 29 games go absolutely disastrously and the Warriors feel like they want to move on this summer. Does Andrew Wiggins have any tradeability whatsoever?
He does, but I wouldn't do it. I mean, Russell just wasn't a fit. We knew that. This kid is a fit, and he's long, and he's athletic, and he's relatively young. This team has to get younger. So he to me, fits in a lot of ways. There is tradability for him, if that's a word, but we'll make it a word. But I don't trade him. I see what happens next summer. I mean, next fall, next season. Then you add the first-round pick, and you add that $17.5 million trade exception you have. And don't they have another $7 million trade exception?
I believe so.
They have a mid-level exception.
Yep.
I mean, there's an ability to make this team pound for pound, not just Wiggins, but pound for pound much better in this offseason, build them back into a championship team. And he averaged 20 in a bad situation. What is he going to do in Golden State? And the pressure's not on him. He just has to be a great complementary piece. So for him to be the third option offensively, a guy that was averaging 20 a game and did what he did in his first game, I think it's a great opportunity for him.
Mark Spears, senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. Andre Iguodala's great opportunity to return to the NBA on a team that he decides is decent enough to play for. Ironically, it begins here tonight at Chase Center, a building that I think he envisioned starting when this building opened. I had a feeling he thought he'd be on the roster that helped open it. Yeah. He got businessed out of here. What do you think of tonight being the night that he returns? I mean, kind of ironic, don't you think?
Yeah, and thought maybe his first game next season could have been in a Warrior uniform. You know, I talked to him at St. Mary's last week after he signed. He was working out there at their junior gym there with his son, and he's ecstatic. And I think the thing that's amazing for him is typically stars are the only ones that can make power business moves like that. Not a guy that's 36, not a guy that's a role player, not a guy toward the end of his career. What he did was great from a business standpoint, was brilliant from a business standpoint. He got paid. He got to go to Miami, championship caliber situation. He got to go get a tan. And, I mean, it worked all great. And it was funny to me that these Memphis kids were talking stuff all of a sudden when they just started winning. Why weren't they saying something at the beginning of the season? But I think in the end, Ja Morant and the other guys will probably apologize to Iguodala when they realize what he did. When you see Andre Drummond get traded to Cleveland, like, it's a reminder that this is a business. And Andre Iguodala gave these guys like an amazing blueprint that he had to have a lot of guts to do. I don't know if any other guy like him can do it, but to me, what he did was one of the most interesting sports business moves, power plays a player has ever made.
The second half of his career and what he's been able to do and get away with and change his reputation, it has been staggering.
Yeah, no, he's and he's going to stay in the Bay. He'll still be in Oakland. I wonder how many people, if someone could call in, did you ever see him on your commute? He was working at this company, tech company in San Francisco, like 8 to 5 every day. And he told me if he didn't have some little injury, he had nagging injury, he would have taken the BART to work. He's ready for post-career, and he's making a ton of money here. So he's not going to leave here. I think his family is going to move with him next year, but I think his home base will forever be in the Bay, and obviously he'll get a big standing ovation tonight. And I think the players at large throughout the league will give him a big standing ovation, too.
I presume that you talked to him earlier in the year. Did he think at any point that the move he made could go badly for him, that he'd end up either getting traded to a bad team and having to choose between playing for a bad team or just not playing at all, or that Memphis would basically try to just be stubborn and make him stay, even if it meant he didn't play at all?
You know, he had an interesting quote where he told me, he said, you know, I didn't know if I was going to be on a team September 1st, December 1st, February 1st, or like July 1st. He didn't know. He knew he was rolling the dice, but he was still getting paid, and he wasn't broke. Like, this is a man who's not only managed his money, but made a lot more money. So what they say, scared money don't make money, you know? He's handled his business. And so he financially could make that gamble where perhaps other guys would have been scared of being blackballed or, you know, but, you know, Dre's reputation as a player was good too. As a person, as, you know, Steve Kerr saying this is the smartest player I ever coached. So it wasn't like he had a bad reputation or he was a bad guy. I mean, this is a champion with one of the most brilliant basketball minds of all players that I've been around. So I think maybe, Ray, his situation was mutually exclusive to him. I don't know if you could name many guys in terms of a player like him who have the guts or the ability to make the move that he made.
So speaking of the move that he made, I mean, I think that what makes it really an incredible coup is the extension. Do you know exactly how that went down? Was that as simple as, okay, I guess I'll go to, because I know he wanted to stay in California. So was it, I guess I'll go to Miami if you give me 15 to 30 million more reasons to do so?
I think you got it. I mean, he told me he really thought and deliberated on it, but at this point in his career, like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
How much time did you have to think about that? Go get a mojito and sign the deal, you know? I don't think he deliberated on it much at all. But to your point, I think if Miami wanted to keep him, because the Warriors had the ability with all these exceptions that they had, they had the ability to bring him back. And I think Miami knew it. So in order to make sure that didn't happen, they had to take care of him. And, you know, there's an option on the second year. But for him to get that $15 million bump next year for sure, that's I understand. And going to Miami, you could be certainly in worse places than going to Miami. I think he mentioned something about playing golf with Ray Allen in the near future, too. So I think he's okay.
There's a tee time for Andre at a lot of courses every weekend. He just picks wherever he'll be, and he gets on. We've got Mark Spears here with us, who we assumed was going to be on here in person, but he's not in the Bay tonight. He's actually in Milwaukee, where he went to cover the Bucks game. I don't know who they're playing tonight.
Sacramento.
But if you went to go see Mark, Sacramento, congratulations. If you went to go see Giannis, I guess you're not going to see him tonight. He's out having a baby.
Yeah, no, Giannis Jr. was born, so I'm guessing he's not going to be Superman and come to this. And if he does show up, the Bucks should make him go home. I was actually here for a thing about social justice that the Kings and the Bucks have. This is their second year doing this program. The Kings did it last year, and I hosted a panel with the Bucks owner this morning. And so I'm here. I don't get to see the Bucks every day, and I thought I was going to see Giannis, but doesn't look like that.
Did you come out in favor of social justice or against it?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was about social injustice.
I just wanted to make sure what side you were on.
Yeah,
you're not
I'm
trustworthy.
Definitely on the side of fixing social injustice for sure. But they had a lot of great discussions. The chief of police was here. Now, obviously, you know the situation with Sterling Brown with the Bucks. That was a big topic. And then, you know, late Stephon Clark situation in Sacramento. That was a huge topic here as well. And I mean, Kings and the Bucks, man, I give them a lot of credit, man. They're doing a lot of things. The Kings actually have a youth basketball program for 5th through 10th graders in Sacramento. And I think there were like over 20 teen deaths in that neighborhood in which the players are participating, the youth players. And since that program started, there hasn't been any. It's bringing, like, kids together from different underprivileged neighborhoods and getting to know each other. So, you know, kudos to the Kings and the Bucks for doing big things.
That is very nice. I'm not going to wrap up with a warm and fuzzy, though. I just got to ask your reaction to Kevin Durant's appearance on the All the Smoke podcast, where he basically, it sounded like he was intimating, hey, had we just had a bigger, longer group hug, I might still be in town. Did you hear it, Mark, and what did you think about it if you did?
He was gone, man. We all knew he was gone. I could tell by his body language when he played. He gave me and a lot of other people coach speak about his situation, but you could tell he was gone. The situation with Draymond, like you guys know, like there's arguments with players every day. There's arguments in your office every day. I know Ray cursed out somebody there today.
I haven't been in today, but I'll curse you out.
Okay, it's happened. But you move on. I think if he really wanted to be there, I can't see the Draymond thing really holding him back. I'd love to sit down and talk to him. I hope we talk soon. I still think he's a phenomenal person and a phenomenal player. And I think he, at some point, will realize how much the Bay loved him back. You know, I think the only reason why people – it's like somebody calling a player saying they suck. They only say you suck because you're great. And the only reason why everybody, media and the local fans were on him all the time is because they wanted him to stay. I don't think the Bay Area gave him anything but love. Maybe he misconstrued it. But I think if he wanted to be here, I mean, I actually think he probably should have just taken the money. And then if he wanted to leave, certainly the Warriors could have made a trade around right now or last week, right, to get him to wherever he wanted to go.
Yeah, that guy's got mobility if he wants it.
Steals and 24 points. You know, kudos to Bob Myers and the Warriors staff for actually getting an asset from all that, from that major, huge, mammoth departure. They're able to still get an asset to get another asset. And I think that's something that you'll probably see a lot of teams do. Which the Thunder probably are kicking themselves for not doing after losing Kevin Durant for nothing.
Outstanding. Thank you as always. Great to talk to you. Let us know when you're back in town. We look forward to seeing you again, pal.
I know me and you need to get a frosty beverage.
We're overdue.
Responsibly, and I'll be back next week.
There he is, the man, the myth, Mark Spears of ESPN's The Undefeated. Coming to you from Milwaukee, where you might not have Giannis tonight, which means why the hell is Mark in Milwaukee? Oh, that was good. He had other reasons to be there, so it was worth his time indeed. We're going to make sure the rest of this day is worth your time. You're invited to be a part of it at 888-957-9570. We look at who the Warriors are now and how much different. It's all going to be in the blink of an eye, and like Mark just was talking about, the beauty of Bob Myers in the last minute turning Kevin Durant into someone instead of no one. When KD decided to cross the Rubicon, it's the reason why the show might go on when it's all said and done. Don't you go anywhere. An awful lot still coming up. We are just still underway here live from Chase Center, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now, back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky, live from Chase Center on 95.7 The Game.
Coming to you live from Chase Center. Thanks so much for stopping on by. This is a cool building. It really, really is. We're up here on the sixth level, as a matter of fact. It's even nice up here. We're by the Modelo Bar.
Which isn't open, which does us no good.
And it is open, and as a matter of fact, there's unguarded liquor in there right now for you,
what?
Ray Ratto, if you're feeling frisky.
Lucas.
Lucas, how long would you like to be the producer of the show?
Produce
if your answer is another
cocktails.
Hour, go. I can only imagine. Well, so do you ever know that if you're ever going to steal a keg, never steal it from a bar?
Yeah, no.
Because if you steal a keg from the bar, you don't get charged for the price of the keg. You get charged for the price of the pour, which means one stolen keg from a bar instantly turns into grand theft larceny.
Yeah.
Because that's thousands and thousands of dollars to a bar
that's right.
per ounce.
If you just steal it from the liquor store, it's just whatever the cost of the keg is.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Lucas, if we did send you to steal one bottle of Jack Daniels per ounce, that's, I think, life imprisonment for you here at Chase Center. So, yeah,
I'm willing.
Don't do it.
I'm willing.
Are you willing to sacrifice, Lucas?
I'm willing
that, right?
to take that chance.
Yeah. Well, you'd think.
He either cares for the show or he doesn't.
I will say this. Lucas does not have "I do well in prison" written all over
no,
him.
No, that's true.
No, he does not have that look about him.
Again,
no.
not my problem.
The friendship bracelet
is
a dead giveaway.
Yeah. The friendship bracelet never does well in prison.
Yeah.
There he is.
It says Irie on it because he was just in Jamaica.
It was from Jamaica. By the way, if you have some Jamaican supplies with you, that's how you get through prison. I want to talk about what Bob Myers did. We were just talking with Mark Spears, and he said, really, it is amazing that Bob was able to do with Kevin Durant what Oklahoma was unable to do with Kevin Durant, and that's getting anything, any option at all walking back into the door when such a considerable talent walks out. I saw Drew Schiller, who, thanks, Drew, for doing the work. That means I didn't have to today. He was basically looking at what are now 13 draft picks through 2026. And Durant isn't the vehicle that brought you to all of these picks, but he is the door that several of them came through. And it's what you have now in the wake of the trade that they just made with the Minnesota Timberwolves and other entities. So here we go. We're basically going back to strengths in numbers, but this time it's going to be on a budget. Because you got top-heavy salaries in Clay and Steph and Dre and now Andrew Wiggins, who makes a very pretty penny, too. So you're not going to have strength in numbers in terms of Steph is on the best deal ever, which means you can spend like a crazy person on the back half of your roster. The only way that you can get value on the back half of your roster is to hit on some of the young players and decisions that are coming to you. Starting with 2020. The Warriors have their own first-round pick, which, look, might be number one overall. They've got the Utah Jazz's second-rounder. That comes from the Willie Cauley-Stein trade. They have the Dallas Mavericks' second-rounder from the Alex Burke-Glenn Robinson deal. They've traded their own second-rounder and Andrew Bogut back in 2016 to make the room for Kevin Durant to land here to begin with. So they got back a second-round pick and another second-round pick, again, because they moved Burks and Glenn Robinson. Those are three options that they otherwise would not have had. If not, well, yes, they would have had their own first-round pick. But the others, that's because they were making deals. In 2021, they've got their own first-round pick. They've now got the Minnesota Timberwolves' top three protected first-rounder from the D'Lo trade, which becomes unprotected in 2022 if not actually conveyed. That's a good place to be because in 2022, they've got their own first-rounder, maybe that pick, their own second-rounder, and they've got the Toronto Raptors' second-rounder, again, from the Burks-Robinson trade. Back to 2021, they've got a Minnesota Timberwolves second rounder coming. They've got a Nuggets second rounder coming. Like, there is a pipeline of, how about this? When you're talking about second round draft picks, you need as many bites at the apple as you can get. If one of them is delicious, you've nailed it.
And they're just kickers for various trade packages as well, if that's the direction you end up going.
Yes, indeed. They could be packaged along with whatever to move up, make things more enticing. But without Bob Myers' creativity, without D'Angelo Russell showing up in the first place, you don't get any of this. And you got to make a little hay in this draft and hit on one or two picks, namely chief among what could be number one overall next year. But 2020, 2021, 2020, 2022 are very important because guess who has no picks in 2024?
The Warriors.
The Golden State Warriors. Now, obviously, movement could pick up something, but you got no picks in 2024. Coming at all, which means you need a nucleus now to build underneath guys who are getting rest this year and will come back recharged and revived. Like, I don't want to say this is essentially Jimmy Garoppolo tearing his ACL in Kansas City, but it could be. It could be. The right decisions turn this thing back around into an, oh my God, they're still here basketball team. Like that.
And look, if the Niners had gotten caught up in the frenzy and drafted Quinnen Williams instead of Nick Bosa, they might not have been in the Super Bowl this year, right?
Yep.
I mean, the Jimmy Garoppolo thing didn't guarantee them the Super Bowl bounce back. It's what they did with the opportunities that that injury afforded them. And I think that's the way it's the most similar is it there have been injuries that really completely derailed this season. But those injuries lead to opportunities that could make the future even better.
And the first of the opportunities was when they convinced Durant to play ball on the sign and trade.
Yep.
And a lot of this doesn't happen if Durant, who has done nothing but praise the front office from the moment he left, wasn't in a mood to do business that way.
Yeah, he said
he could have said, I'm not doing that. I don't. Why should I help you?
He said in that interview, like, Bob and I are tight to this day. And I believe that because if they
weren't. We did it solid.
Yeah, exactly. That's just a favor Durant was doing. There was no. I mean, I think he got an extra year or something, but it's not like Durant's money was in trouble if he didn't sign here and then get traded. He could have just signed a free agent deal.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's Myers. I mean, I wouldn't trade with him if I was in another team. Why would I want to poke that wasp hive?
I mean, it's the Billy Bean thing we've been hearing for years, right?
Yeah.
People don't want to get screwed by someone who's known for screwing people.
Well, but it's not getting screwed. It's they're not done yet.
Right.
Why would I help them?
Yeah.
Unless they were 19-61 or 19-63 and they're planning next year to be 22-60.
That too, yeah.
I mean, I would avoid that if at all possible, if I was a contender. Now, if I'm Minnesota, it doesn't matter what the Warriors do. It only matters that I dig out of the.
I just got to get my stuff together.
The dung heap that I'm in.
But it
seemed pretty clear to me that Myers's creativity goes only so far, but his willingness to be good to employees as they're walking out the door in this case. Also paid off.
Really did.
Well, and I know that I would like a little bit more transparency and honesty over hurt or what might be hard feelings, but you'll never get that out of these guys. Nope. Not publicly, because it does them no good. To shake their fist at any decision they didn't like sounds like sour grapes to the point where other players might not want to become a part of it. There is a culture of inclusion and respect that the Warriors have that James Dolan and the New York Knicks would spend $1 billion on if they could come and buy it.
100%.
They'd spend $1 billion for just the feeling that the Warriors have with players that they've said goodbye to.
It's like what Mark Spears just told us about Willie Cauley-Stein. Pretty much nothing about his tenure here went well. And yet, he described it as just a different experience than playing in his experience, Sacramento, which I think Sacramento and Minnesota probably have a lot in common in terms of the culture within the organization.
I think that Minnesota is worse than Sacramento because, and it isn't the cold weather. You can deal with the cold weather.
You can, but it's why that, if you don't have to?
It's that until they hired Gerson Rojas, the franchise was run by Glenn Taylor, who's the late 70s owner of a team that since the moment Kevin Garnett got traded to Boston has been a disaster, and they've had no idea of how to get out of that because Glenn Taylor wants to be in on everything. The one thing you can credit Joe Lacob for is while he wants to know everything, he doesn't want to be the loudest voice in the room. And that's hard for owners to do, even owners who aren't billionaires. And he's not a billionaire. I mean, this is worth $1 billion+, but he manages to bite his tongue when it's time to bite his tongue. Because Glenn Taylor would have gone to Bob Myers and said, so if you didn't think much of Russell, that's a mistake by you, isn't it? That didn't happen here. I mean, Myers has a freedom of movement that most general managers don't have. And because he has that, he can make promises with a pretty good idea toward keeping them, like going to Kevin Durant and saying, will you let us do a sign and trade so we can get something back for you? Because if you have a vindictive owner, you can't do that.
I mean, can you imagine if you'd ever seen anything from Joe Lacob written in Comic Sans font, like Dan Gilbert flamed LeBron James on the way out of town going to Miami, which is still
It's one of the worst owner moves ever. It's unbelievable that he got that player back.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
I don't know if an email ever makes it to the Hall of Fame, but that thing should be enshrined in the Hall of Fame. It's such a watershed moment of how not to run an NBA franchise that there's a class to be taught from that. It really is.
Yeah.
And but for LeBron choosing, I mean, he almost went back to choose it to spite Dan Gilbert. Like, I'm going to come back, I'm going to be a god, and then I'm peace outing on you again.
It's not a bad troll if you did it on purpose.
I think he knew where he wanted to end up at the end of his career.
Oh, no question.
But I also think that he was a guy who could see if it doesn't go well in Miami and he never makes peace with Cleveland, that's always going to be a line in the bio.
I think he saw it as a nice way to undo some of the damage done by the TV show, The Decision. Right, yeah. I mean that is
nobody
really,
brings that up anymore.
No, and it's really the only blemish on an unbelievably successful career from a guy who had every reason not to live up to the expectations that were set for him before he stepped foot in the NBA, and really has outshined those expectations in every way at every turn, with the one exception of that bad television show.
Well, and the TV show was an unknown risk.
Yeah,
because no one else had done it before.
Yeah, and he was. He donated literally a couple $1 million to charity as a result of that TV show, I think. But all anyone could see was a finger in the eye of
yeah, you made Cleveland. Bad entertainment, which, of course, as we know, is the worst crime an American can commit.
And he just chose the wrong sentence. I'm yes. taking my talents to South Beach.
He chose the wrong sentence.
Was the wrong bumper sticker to put on the back of that car.
I think something as simple as I feel bad because I love Cleveland, but it's my time to go elsewhere. You know what I mean? Just like freezing could have right. saved him.
I never made it to college. This is going to be my leaving home experience.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
by the way, Pat Riley knows what he's doing. Oh, welcome, one and all, to your 3 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Pat Riley knowing what he's doing, maybe a little bit of a theme here tonight at Chase Center. We are coming to you live, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, from right outside the Modelo Club up on the sixth floor of Chase Center. We got a gorgeous view of the bay when they actually turn this dirt patch into a public green space.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's
going to
be
beautiful.
That's
not a ferry stop. It's a green space?
It might be a ferry stop attached to it at some point.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Who knows? But, this is going to be beautiful. And even just right now, looking out over the bay, we can see the Oakland Hills. It's great.
It is. Tankers everywhere.
Yeah.
See a couple of rusty boats.
There are some rusty boats.
Yeah. Sounds like a euphemism.
Well, no, in this case, they're actually boats encased in rust.
Yeah, no, I know.
I don't want to know where your mind's going.
All right.
This.
Speaking of rusty boats, Hunter Pence is coming back. Look, I didn't know when we were going to do this in the show, but I did know that we needed to do this in the show today, so it feels like right here and why the hell not. We're
sure.
too deep. We have waded into the pond that is Hunter Pence talking about rusty boats. Why just run out now? Let's stick here for a minute. Why not? There's my official analysis on Hunter Pence. Why not? Hunter Pence is a one-year, $3 million contract with the San Francisco Giants for the upcoming season. He's 37 years old, which feels like a walk-away number if there ever was one. As a matter of fact, 36 was a walk-away number, and when they walked away, what happened? Well, Hunter Pence went on to become the Sporting News American League 2019 Comeback Player of the Year with a slash line that would immediately put him among the Giants' leaders in terms of anyone who qualified for a slash line with the Giants last year. His home run pace would have put him only three off the Giants' home run lead. He would have been tied for third in RBI with Brandon Crawford. 18 home runs, 17 doubles, 59 RBI, 6 stolen bases, and 316 plate appearances. None of these numbers are stop the press's numbers until you start looking at the San Francisco Giants numbers of last year.
Unless those presses are out at, Oracle Park right now.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Here's what Hunter Pence has. House credit with a fan base that won't be mad seeing him take a spot holding at bat while the Giants are still a year away from major league development in their farm system of anyone they'd want to get a major league clock ticking on. He is the perfect placeholder from a price standpoint, from an emotional connection standpoint, and from a you thought it was all gone and he got just a little back. Let's see if he's got anything left at all standpoint. What the hell? Why not?
And he lives in this beautiful zone where if he's available and plays and is decent, everyone will get a nice harmless kick out of it. And if he stinks and some younger player gets the at-bats instead, no one's going to be particularly upset.
No, he's on scholarship. Yeah. There's no question. It also, though, says to Giants fans, this rebuild is going to take a long time.
Yes, it does.
Because it is, in terms of the rebuilding process, a step backwards. It may be a what-the-hell signing, and there's nothing wrong with it, and I agree with that. But it's an indication that they have no outfielders current that they desperately want to see. It means they're either too far down the pipeline or they're not good enough.
Or they have less than three anyway, right? I mean, yeah. You know, yeah, I think that's right. I think they're probably mildly intrigued by a guy like Jalen Davis, but if they thought he was an everyday starter, then they probably don't sign Hunter Pence. And that's where we're at. I know there are Giants fans that are angry. What the heck is Farhan doing? But, you know, I believe we're sitting with a guy who told you when Farhan was hired that this could be a five-year rebuilding experience. And we're in year two. So it's going to be a minute, guys. That's where we're at with the Giants, sad to say.
You know what?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying, I also don't mind a guy chasing incentives.
No.
And Hunter Pence, man, he's got so many incentives that are tangible and reachable to chase where any kind of locked in, and we know that he's Mr. Heart and Hustle. Like, everybody thinks that he shows up at the ballpark with the right attitude every day.
No doubt.
If you do want to set an example for some young guys in the clubhouse, you could do a whole lot worse than Hunter Pence setting the tone for a major league clubhouse. He can earn up to $1 million in active roster bonuses. I mean, it's $200,000 if he's on the active roster for 90 and 105 days, $300,000 for 120 and 135 days. He's eligible to earn another $1.25 million in performance bonuses for plate appearances, another $250,000 for 450 plate appearances, $500,000 for 600 plate appearances. I don't know if he's going to see 600 plate appearances.
But yeah, but they'll be from other people.
If he does, it's because he's playing well, right? I mean, that as well. If he's playing well, someone's going to come knocking on your door for Hunter Pence.
Right.
So this is a pretty much no-lose proposition for the San Francisco Giants. And, you know, for the diehard Giants fans that are saying, oh, not this again. Why didn't we sign Bryce Harper? Well, that's just not where this franchise is in development right now. They felt they had to tear it down to the studs
right, in
order to build a sustainable foundation. And we're in the foundation being torn part, not the foundation building part.
Right, pitchers and catchers reporting today, tomorrow?
I think it's
tomorrow? Yeah. Okay. Pitchers and catchers are reporting tomorrow, and I can tell you conclusively, I have no idea who the Giants center fielder is, which means Hunter Pence is fine for now.
That's right. Although Billy Hamilton was signed, I don't know that he's going to be your full-time center fielder. Is Steven Duggar still around?
Yeah. I mean, I think right now Fangraphs projects him as the starter.
Duggar.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean anything.
No, it does not.
No,
and Billy
Hamilton,
if nothing else, will run the bases for you.
Yeah. No, I mean, the truth is, this is more part of the wake-up call for fans.
Yeah.
And if they don't like what they get from Hunter Pence, they'll boo him, which will be sort of
a bummer.
It's wasted energy. I don't know if it's a bummer or not. You take your chances for $3 million a year.
Yeah.
By the way.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yaz, in 107 games last year, I mean, Yastrzemski and Wright, you can pretty much pencil that in for the hometown nine.
Yep, I think that's right.
In 107 games, Pilar played 156 games. Each of them hit a grand total of three more home runs than Hunter Pence, who found a little power in Texas.
Yeah.
Texas Heat, baby.
Well, Texas, yeah. That old ballpark, which no longer exists, was a launching pad.
It was.
So it,
sure,
it
he's not going to find power here, but that doesn't mean he can't.
But no one
he
does.
He could become a crafty little slap hitter.
That's right. Just like he was last time he was here.
888 957-9570 is the number. I deeply hope you enjoyed the Hunter Pence segment. I don't know how much more Hunter Pence we have for you today. But baseball really is around the corner. And may I just, since we're talking a little bit of baseball here, we're coming back with more Wiggins and more of the secret weapon that is known in my house as Kawhi LeGeech. We will have that before it's all said and done. Can I just mention that the Oakland A's might win the World Series this year?
For sure you can.
Can I mention that right here and now?
I hope to mention it several times.
I know that there's an awful lot of people who think that we're just committed to never talking about that baseball team. We're about to reach the summer months where talking about anything is what we're willing to do. And I dare you to give your own front office a reason to add a player at the deadline and make a move. Go for it. And don't have one of those, yeah, we traded our cleanup hitter to add a pitcher, go for it moments. Spend money. Do something. I dare you.
Well, it depends largely on whether John Fisher believes that this is something to build on or if he's going to wait for the mythical ballpark at Howard Terminal to start putting up peers.
If that's what's going to happen, they're dead in the water. They're already absolutely a dead man walking.
But if they need a big piece at the deadline and they don't do it just because of money, then you have your answer, at least about this ownership. Because this team's not going anywhere. It's not moving to Portland. It's not moving to Vancouver. It's not moving to Nashville or anywhere else. Rob Manfred is going to see to it that this team stays here at least through the end of the Fisher era. Because one of the things that John Fisher and Lou Wolf did, which it seems insane then, and it's more insane now, is knowing full well that Manfred had the votes to become the commissioner when Bud Selig retired, they voted against him. For no apparent reason, because there was no other viable candidate. And Rob Manfred remembers things like that. So every time people ask him about Oakland, he'll put a burr in Libby Schaff's saddle, but largely you say, we believe in Oakland as a major league city, which is code for, you're not leaving. You get this done. And so,
do you think they will get it done in terms of a new building?
I think they could, but I mean, there are so many moving parts that have nothing to do with government. It's about will to do it. And one of the ways you show that you're interested is when it's time to pull the trigger on something. And it's a good idea, then do it. I mean, they've done it before. 2014, when they went out and got John Lester and gave up Yoenis Cespedes, that wasn't a bad baseball deal. People bitched about it, but it gave them the pitching that they didn't think they had. And if they didn't vomit all over themselves in that wild card game in Kansas City, they'd have gotten to the postseason.
Too bad Lester can't hold a runner.
Yep. Well, there's that.
But it was odd. I mean, not many teams blow up their lineup to just add one more arm. It made sense. Look, I was on the air. It all happened in real time, and we got it. Hindsight makes you look at that a little bit differently now, and when you know what happened in Kansas City, oi. 888-957-9570 is the number. We've got wide open lines for you on a day where we're out at Chase Center, which means we're talking an awful lot of NBA. And when we come on back, we got more NBA around the corner. Because based on one game, I think the Golden State Warriors got to feel like they're in the right direction with Wiggins if he isn't even actually the right guy. They're definitely now pointed more in the right direction. And Allen Kawhi LeGeech. I don't know when the MVP is happening, but it's coming. Okay, maybe slow down on that just a little bit. But how about 25 minutes a night for the remainder of this year? What, instead of foul trouble, why the hell not? We're back at Chase Center in a minute. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.